Welcome to Digital Humans, a podcast where we learn from leading experts about how we can harness technology to evolve our organizations and our lives. This podcast is sponsored by SmartLab.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Digital Humans podcast. My name is Jesse Tong, and I'm joined with my co-host, George Seiler.
Hello.
This podcast is about learning from leading experts on how we can harness the best of digital to evolve our organizations and lives. It is about putting people at the center of transformation initiatives and harnessing the incredible opportunities that technology presents. Today's episode is about building beautiful things, and we are delighted to be joined by our guest today, Jose Luis Mora, also known as JL. JL, welcome.
Thanks, Jesse. It's a pleasure being here. JL, we're thrilled to have you with us today. As an executive leadership coach and former COO of Salesforce UK and Ireland, you're bringing over 30 years of experience in finance and operations from Fortune 500 companies. Your expertise helps leaders and teams navigate challenges through self-reflection and collaboration. Based in London, with experience in Europe and Brazil, your passion for leadership development really is inspiring. Let's set the scene, and JL, we'd love to learn a bit about your career and journey to date, where you came from, how it all started, and about your role in becoming where you are today.
Yeah, maybe I'll start with the back and then I'll go back to this. I feel that today I'm in my third chapter in my career, where I stepped away from the corporate world. And now, as you said, I'm a leadership coach and strategic advisor, helping companies. And yeah, it's been 35 years on the road. I was born and raised in Brazil, spent most of the beginning of my career over there working for large international, multinational companies, but I always really wanted to have an international career. And this is when an opportunity came up. I was working for a company called Hyperion Solutions that no longer exists. It's part of Oracle today, where I had an opportunity to do a two-year assignment. Those two-year assignments became a 20-year life here in Europe. I never went back, and it was just fascinating. This thing that I've done and I've seen, I've lived in five different countries, experienced new cultures. Most of my career, I was in finance. And now I think 2 years ago, I decided to move away from this and dedicate my life to something that I really love, which is helping people to be more conscious leaders, because the world needs better leaders.
And how is that chapter been unfolding? I mean, we're going to get into that, but how is, just as a summary level, how is that going?
It's been fascinating. First is a, you know, transition career. And I think you absolutely have to rethink how you engage with life. I was an executive of a very, very large organization. So my last career, I worked for Salesforce and I stayed there for 15 years. As you said, I was the COO of the UK and Ireland. It was a big job. And all of a sudden, you're a self-employed executive coach. You have a lot of time in your hands to think, to reflect. And it's great because I think the best thing is how you redefine success. Because today, for me, success is when I see my clients' eyes when they get it, right? There's like this relief when they sit back on their desk or their chairs and say, oh yeah, now I know what to do. I know the next step. And that is quite remarkable.
That's amazing. And then JL, I couldn't echo more about what you just mentioned, because I personally work with you in the last 6 to 8 months as well. You serve as my personal coach. We started a relationship as completely unknown to each other, to the level that you really helped me to become and then also build a better myself as well. So thank you for that. And on that note, what was the trigger? What was it made you want to become an executive coach? I know you briefly touched on that, but then would you mind telling us a little bit more about what does your role entails now on a day-to-day basis?
I think first I need to say this. I'm a people person, if that's a thing, right? I've always liked human connection, being in conversation. And it was interesting that once I started managing people in previous organizations and at Salesforce as well, I realized that 60% of the time of a leader is dealing with people, things, issues, challenges, whatever that is. And I think like all transitions, they are gradual. Mine was very gradual. There was a moment in time, and maybe because I was approaching, at the time, I was approaching my 50s. And I was thinking, is this it? I think there's much more to life than this. So I think I was approaching it. And what one of the things that I was noticing is that I was having more pleasure or joy of having career conversations with my employees than doing multi-million dollar deals or building massive budgets. Because, you know, that is interesting, but wasn't enough.
This is all about digital humans, this podcast series. And we're here talking about authentic human connections. And part of me is thinking about how so many people are working remotely and are people and want to connect with people. Yet we find many of us in a much more distributed way of working, which of course has many fantastic advantages. You can have access to people in perhaps ways that you otherwise wouldn't have. How do you, JL, find that balance of having the connection with people using digital as a part of that?
First thing, like, I absolutely embrace technology. I think it's absolutely incredible that we are able to live in this day and age, where there was a pandemic and the world continued, right? Like there's something around, you know, for instance, when I did my certification, because I did the certification in the beginning of 2020, everything was virtual, right? I ended up having this group of 18 of us from all parts of the world. There were people in India, there were people in the US, lots of people here in Europe, and we were able to connect. So I think technology brings this magic. And I think we can create connection by being here virtual, like the three of us now, right? You create this field. If you are present, because I think, you know, one of the things that for me is the importance of being present, being here, like with all your senses, right? Body, mind, and soul. So being distributed, I don't think impedes you creating connection. What does impede is how bombarded we are with the information and how we can make a moment sacred. One of the questions that I always ask, well, there's three questions usually that I ask when it, how are you? What prevents you from being 100% here present? And what's the intention for the call? Because just really tries to hone in what's here.
You're touching on it already with those three ways that you start a call. What do you find are some of the key characteristics of creating this better version of yourself? Or so if somebody is interested in taking on a leadership coach and evolving themselves, what are some of the elements involved of that?
I do have a bit of an add-on as well, and how we can support people at the workspace to create a better version of themselves as well.
There's a couple of things. I think there is, what is your problem statement or issue statement? Like if you're going to start any coaching relationship, usually you said there's something that you want to be to address. And it usually what it takes is try to understand. So, you know, first session is always going to be about having an intake session where I ask a lot of questions to try to understand where is that coming from? Because there's always a river beneath the river. If you think about that's the example of speaking publicly, usually, and not always, is about building confidence. So that's what you're going to be constructing, a proposed outcomes to be discussed during the engagement, so that we can continue elaborating and deepening the conversation, because it's very important that you have self-reflection and practices. Because if you have what you're saying, that we're going to probably identify a pattern or a behavior that you no longer want to do. You want to build something new. Because for you to change, you have to start acting some differently so that that changes. And what we're trying in the engagement is understand your pattern. Yes, I want to change that. Then you have to start practicing. And there's a lot of trial and error, and there's a lot of deep conversations, because the role of a coach, there's twofold. One is to hold the mirror for the client to really see themselves for who they are, and then create a safe space that they can, you know, feel at ease, that they can share things. And another thing that I think it's why, and then just to address your question, is there's a ripple effect. Because if I am more conscious, the leaders that work with me and around will be more conscious as well, because I'm going to be different. So it's going to be making the system different.
I believe this way we can create a better workplace for us all, right? By creating a better version of ourselves and also enable others to achieve the better version of themselves. I would love to dig a little bit deeper on creating beautiful things. As George mentioned, that's what you are very passionate about. Can you tell us a little bit more about why you are so passionate about it and then the definition of it?
So many years ago, I did one of those assessments. There's a called Via Online Character, Via Character Assessment, where they have like 34 strengths and then they rank. One of my top five is appreciation of beauty and excellence. I think it's number three. And there's a poet that I love. I don't know if you ever heard, if you know him, Dave Dwight. He's an Irish poet. And he says that beauty is the harvest of presence. And that beauty is a gateway to connection. So that is the premise of why I like to create beautiful things, is exactly because it just fosters an environment that possibility can rise. It's a space where you can experience freedom. And I like his definition of beauty so much, because I think presence is one of the hardest things that happen in the world nowadays. Because when you are present, you can hear yourself. You can hear the other. You can learn something. Because if not, you're just literally reacting. And I think that is the big distinction, which is reaction versus responding. And you can only really respond to something appropriately if you are present.
You are listening to Digital Humans, sponsored by Smart Lab, a leading experience management platform for events, learning, and change. I would love to talk about the common challenges that you have encountered personally or based on the experience that you have worked with the people that you are coaching. Self-improvement is always an inspiration, but they are always setbacks, right? So we know that resilience is very important, and I would love to hear more about your point of view around the kind of strategies we could implement to overcome those challenges and also pressures.
Yeah, it's everything that I've been saying so far. I think the underlying message, if I can, you know, summarize in two words, like slow down to go faster. That is the core of self-improvement. I think beyond self-improvement, one of the things that we're talking about is how can you create self-leadership? Because, you know, when you learn something new, you said setbacks, right? Things are going to happen. What's important is how fast you detect when they happen and how you shift. Instead of me, you know, responding this way, I'm going to respond that way because I recognize my pattern. Another thing that I think it's important, and I was very guilty of this. I was living from my neck up. Everything was in my head. Like I was a very big-headed man. And I think it's important for you really to use all your intelligences, right? Your IQ, of course, your EQ, know your emotions, but also your somatic intelligence. Your body knows. Usually when you work very, very hard and you don't stop, you get sick. And then you're forced to stop. It's like your body telling you, can you please slow down? You're not a machine. So all of this is recognizing those patterns themselves. And I even believe that, you know, like we have, when you're fearing something, when there's fear, we all have fears, right? And they always come up. I believe that fear is always trying to tell you something. Usually we say like, let's avoid fear. Don't look at it. Don't look at it. Like just, you know, paint something on top of it. And I think if you look at it, it might be telling you something. You need to change your mindset or you need to do something different. Just look at where that fear is coming from. So there's so many possibilities for you to, instead of turning away, it's kind of turning towards. And to see what is there for me, what is there for me to learn that I can become more conscious, as I've been saying so far.
JL, thank you very much for your reflection, for everything you've just said there. I've been listening very intently. My question here, connected to all of this, is what do you say to someone who is becoming more self-aware, sees themselves in a place or in a maybe a circumstance where they do want to make some major changes, but they feel that it's going to be so disruptive for everyone that they're connected to, and then it's kind of holding them back from doing something. What do you say to someone who is really like, it's on the cusp. They're like, they're ready to do it. They've got big dreams, big ideas inside them, but they're just absolutely afraid to make that jump.
You know, it's a very good question, George. I think my first question is fear of what?
Perhaps fear of the unknown, right? You don't know. At least you know your familiar space, but there's a fear of the unknown.
Yeah, yeah. But
will you not have the money to support your family, for example?
There's a lot of fears, but then imagine that this is like a crossroad and they see three paths. The first thing I would say is that if you want to be in that crossroad for the rest of your life, it's absolutely fine. Right? It's absolutely your choice. Because sometimes it's easier to be with the devil you know. You sit there and you complain about your lives and blah, blah, blah. The question that I would ask is, do not take ownership of your life and the decisions that you make. And don't blame anyone else. It's about moving away from the blaming game. Being human is absolutely amazing. Because we can project the future. We can dream the future. But when we dream, we also paint all the horrible potential possibilities. Because everything's about commitment. Recently, I learned this which I love this definition with this American coach who I just did a training with him. His name is Gene Detmer. And he says, commitment is where you put your energy to. Because in this example, this person, his or her or their commitment is to be where they are now, nothing else. Usually what happens is that people believe that they're going to go from zero to hero, right, in one step. No. It's one step at a time, one breath at a time. It goes back to what I said in the beginning about redefining success. If I were to apply my job today, the same labels of success when I was the COO of the UK and Ireland, I would be a very unhappy man. Because success is very, very different now. Like I said, success for me is literally being in this conversation with the two of you. How amazing it is that there's a space, like the podcast that the two of you host, that talks about those deep conversations, talking about the future, talking about possibility, talk about embracing the unknown. That's what you do. So what I would tell that person is that embrace the unknown and do one step at a time.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It made me feel a little bit emotional even, actually. And if you could turn back the clock, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Oof. That's an easy one because I would say, don't do it alone. In the beginning of my career, I was one of those people that went to prove myself to everyone. When I started working, it was 1988. And I remember there was one XT computer for the whole floor. That's what that thing. You still have two floppy disks, one for the operation, the system, and the other one for your files. And I remember doing my first Lotus 1-2-3 spreadsheet. And I was like, and creating and, you know, the retrieve, blah, blah, blah. And then I did this. Oh, I finished. And I hit the plug and the computer erased. And I lost everything, my whole work. It's not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm a very, you know, persistent and perseverant person. But I could have, in so many other situations, I could have asked for help. Which means, like, because I never asked for help, I was a very anxious person. So, yeah, so I would say ask for help. Get mentors. Right? They are critical for the success of any professional.
There's also, like, an additional thing to add to that, which is that when somebody asks you for help, it's actually a really nice feeling to help somebody. I always find the biggest satisfaction is when I get a chance to help somebody with something. And that may sound a bit trite or cheesy to say, but it's genuinely true. If somebody asks you for help with something, you feel quite honored, really, that somebody's come to you. And then if you have within your skill set, or even just to sit with them, you don't have to have the answer, but to sit with them and to see them then emerge with something or feel confidence or a newfound sense of energy when before they didn't have it, that's a huge reward. That in itself is, there's a lot of studies about that, about the best thing to do for your own fulfillment is to find opportunities to help other people. And that's that connection side too. But also for selfish reasons, it's a good thing to do too.
Well, you're absolutely right, because it goes back to what we've been talking all along. It's about the connection. It's about the space. Because sometimes what people need is a place for them to hear themselves. I think we have like 10,000 thoughts a day. And we repeat, I think, 80% of it. Over and over and over and over again. So there's two things, right? I think there's the importance of hearing yourself. I believe that language creates life. And I think if you go back to the coach engagement, is the space for you to try, to hear, to test, and have those things. Because one of the interesting things about, I coach a lot of senior leaders, and the common denominator I hear is how lonely it is. But there's something about exactly this ability to have the space. I spoke earlier about mentorships. Exactly this, right? It's about ensuring that you're going to ask somebody that's done that before, right? Somebody that's going to be, yeah, I've done this before. And when I did this, this happened. And because those were the, you know, the circumstances that were there. And I think it's very, very important to be welcoming and be approachable.
Well, we covered a lot, right? So just now we talked a lot about what advice you could give to leaders who are looking to build beautiful and successful things and the importance of approachability. So taking all this into account, how can our emerging beautiful digital humans create a pathway for themselves to truly flourish?
A beautiful, beautiful question. I would go back to what I said about the importance of, you know, personal development as part of the getting to know yourself. I always see like this evolution as this ascending spiral, right? Where you have to learn how to lead yourself, lead others, lead complex systems, then lead yourself, because then you're different and you lead yourself and lead others, like this continuous arc of development. And I'm very biased because I'm driven by learning. So for instance, in 18 months, I'm 60, and I decided to do 60 things before I'm 60. So the first thing that I decided to do is I decided to learn Japanese, because why not? I always want to learn Japanese, and I'm like struggling. I have 167 days on Duolingo, and I still, very hard language. So there's something around this constant striving to learn, to be better. But in order to do that, you have to slow down. Because if you slow down, you go further. I can guarantee you're not going to be as exhausted. You're going to be able to replenish yourself. Right? Because how can you give something to someone if you don't have it yourself? And one of the ways is exactly by being present, is exercising presence. And I think that's what it is. That's exactly what makes it possible for you to continue connecting, for you to continue creating beautiful things, because every engagement is an opportunity for you to create something beautiful.
Thank you so much. And I have to say, this was a beautiful conversation.
I agreed.
With beautiful people as well.
Oh, that's been wonderful. Well, I just want to say on behalf of everyone on the Digital Humans podcast team, it's been such a pleasure to talk with you today, JL. Thank you so much.
It's been an honor for me as well. I really enjoyed the conversation with the two of you.
As do we. We're deeply honored. For all of you that are listening, thank you so much for listening to the Digital Humans podcast. If you want to find out more, follow JL, subscribe to the podcast, take a look on the social channels. It's all there for you. So thank you so much. Digital Humans is hosted by me, George Seiler.
And me, Jesse Tong.
Produced by Melanie Price and John McGinty. Edited by Danny Cross, with artwork by Alex Matthews and scribed images by Ludic Creatives. This podcast is brought to you by SmartLab.